turn back in the Bible to 1 Samuel and the chapter 20. 1 Samuel and the chapter 20 that we read together. The text is found in the verse 18. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 18. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And I shall be missed because thy seat will be empty." I want to speak about empty seats this morning at our service. Let's look to the Lord. Father in heaven, we pray that thou will be with us. We pray that thou will come and speak to all our hearts, that thou will challenge us from thy word. We may need rebuke, Lord. We may need encourage. We pray that thou will come and minister to everyone at the point of their need. We pray for help to speak and pray that everything is done for the glory of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. "I shall be missed because thy seat shall be empty." In the city of London at this moment, I'm sure everyone in the congregation knows that the 2012 Olympic Games are in progress. It seems every time you put on the television, they're on. There are certain events are being shown. The news broadcast immediately goes to the Olympic Stadium and tell us who has won the gold, who has won the silver, who has won the bronze. Lift up the newspapers, there's photographs in front of the paper, in the middle of the paper, and the back of the paper, and seeking to keep us up to date and with all the results and all the happenings at the Olympics. And there's been many great headlines at the Olympic Games in the last week. Headlines concerning the start of the Olympics. The reckon that the open ceremony, I don't know where you watched it, I saw a little bit of it, I was out at a meeting or a barbecue with the young people. But when I came in, I saw some of it going on. They tell us there's around 1 billion people across the world watched the start of the open ceremony of the Olympic Games. Around 26.9 million people in the United Kingdom watched the start of the Olympic Games. Many people say it is, of course, the greatest show on earth. And there were many important guests at the start of the Olympics, even seemingly that the Queen as opposed to a parachuter from a helicopter, and all the rest of these performances and all of these shows at the start of the Olympics. And so there were headlines about the start of the Olympics. Then in the past week, there's been headlines about the sports. There's a man called Michael Phelps. He is winning medal after medal after medal at the swimming. I think I'll have to take up the swimming to beat him, but nobody else can do it. But he's won about 22 gold medals. And he's the most decorated Olympian of all times. He broke a record that lasted for many years. And yet this man, seemingly, there's no stopping him. And there's headlines about this man, Phelps. You'll see photographs. There's headlines about his abilities. And then, of course, two ladies from, became the first British women to win a gold medal at the Olympic rowing event. Then it tells us about 8 bobbington players who were disqualified. And they were disqualified, what for? We're not trying the hardest. They did not want to win, because they knew who they were going to face in the next round. And so what they did with these 8 ladies, they disqualified them. Imagine God disqualifying us if we never put our heart into the work of God, never put our heart into preaching, never put our heart into praying, never put our heart into going to God's house. Imagine God disqualified us in a blink. Well, that's what they did. Headlines about the sports. They're changing, and they're changing all the time here at the Olympic Games. And then there has been headlines concerning the seats. The seats at the Olympic Games. One of the most shocking sights at the very early week of the Olympic Games was the empty seats at various events. There was rows after rows after rows. The seats are empty. Of course, the papers are full. The newspapers are the newspapers are on about it. The television broadcast, the news on the TV, they're all speaking here. Why is it that all these tickets are out and there are so many empty seats at the Olympic Games, and everybody's pointing their finger? Well, it's their fault, it's his fault, it's her fault. But here we have the headlines. Empty seats at the Olympic Games. That was earlier on at the beginning of the week. Now, I want to say to you, it's not the first time that you've read about an empty seat. Empty seats at the Olympic Games.
Well, here we have it in the Bible. It's nothing new. This is something, that's an old-fashioned thing. Empty seats. Here is Jonathan and David, and they're talking because David's life, David is in danger. David knows that Saul, King Saul, does not like him. And he has this idea, and it is a truth, of course, in the heart of David, that Saul is out to take away his life. And he says to Jonathan, Jonathan, you have not told me. Your father hates me. Your father is planning to take away my life. And so here they're talking about this. Jonathan, of course, he says, David, it cannot be so. My father would have told me.
But you see, his father didn't tell him that he is planning to kill David. And so when they make a covenant here, one with the other, that he would tell us. And David says, well, there's a great feast. And I tell you what, I'll not be going to it.
I'll not go up to the feast. And if your father then speaks well, then I know everything's all right. But if he gets very angry, and if he gets cross because he'll look across the table, and there my seat will be empty, and if he gets very angry, then I know he is evil against me. And Jonathan says, David, this I tell you this. If you don't go, thou shalt be missed, because thy seat shall be empty.
And we read in verse 25, at that feast, and David's place was empty.
Empty seats at the Olympics. Empty seats here at the palace. Empty seat here at this table. Empty seat here before King Saul. David's seat was empty. Empty seats. I want to speak to you this morning about empty seats.
I want to speak about empty seats in the house of God. It is terrible to say that in our day and age there are many empty seats in many churches across our land today.
There's nobody would argue against that. Of course, we're blessed here in the morn. We're blessed in Kilkeel, where people will seek to go out and come to the house of God. But there are many churches. There are many churches across the United Kingdom, and there's hardly anybody at them today.
There's a great declension. A few years ago, there was a survey taken, and they put in the European Social Study, the United Kingdom became the fourth lowest of church attendance in Europe. The fourth lowest. Seats are empty. Even in our own denomination, that once was a time that churches were filled, free Presbyterian churches. People longed to come to the house of God and come to the services and to hear the word of God preached. And you can go to certain churches now in our denomination and the seats are empty.
There's empty seats.
Empty seats in the services. You know, when we come together, today, every Lord's Day, two services, to meet with God. We come into this place to worship God. We come to praise Him. In Psalm 68 and verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him. And here is David, and he's exhorting the people to come to church or to come together and to praise God and to worship God with all of our heart. We are to do this.
You know, we come to church. Never you think you come to church to be entertained. There's entertainment churches today. And you can go to churches and you'll certainly be entertained.
But when you come into this building, you come to meet with God. You come to worship Him. You come to praise God with all your heart. And to sing unto the Lord, our great Savior and our God. The Bible's, our one commentator says, true worship exalts God to His rightful place in our lives. We come to exalt Him, to exalt His name together.
But in many churches, and perhaps at times in this congregation, because I'm preaching to this congregation this morning, there may be times
here in this congregation, and your seat is empty. But I'm not referring to people who are sick. There are people humanly impossible to come to church. They would love to be here. They would love to come out among God's people. But there are people, and it is humanly impossible because of sickness. I'm not referring to this. I'm referring to people in the half-heartedness.
and their seat is empty in this congregation. At the seat at the services of this church, their seat is empty.
There's the two of you. You only come occasionally. You say you're saved.
You say Christ is your Savior. But you know, people can look,
they see your seat is empty. You're not at the services. Oh, you may have maybe said, I'd be one of them. I may be impossible for somebody to come twice. I am not denying that, but little children and so on.
But is it possible that you could be here tonight? Is it possible for everyone in this service to be back again tonight to God's house? That you can come to God's house? Or is it said of you, empty seats in the house of God, that your seat is empty?
Let it not be so. Let us come to church. You know, when I was in England, there were many empty churches in Lewis. I can certainly tell you. I was surrounded by them. But always great blessings in the meetings. I'm not despising the dead small things at all. I loved it. Loved preaching in that congregation. And I was back a couple of weeks ago preaching in again. I loved every bit of it again. But I used to say to a fellow, I used to watch through the window to see if anybody was coming. Imagine you stand or looking through that window there to see if anybody come to church. Well, that's what I used to do some Sunday nights. I said, was anybody coming? And I used to say to him, you know, if nobody comes, well, I'll be there. We'll be there. If nobody wants to come to praise God, well, I tell you what, I'll be in that service to praise God. If nobody wants to come into God's house and to worship Him, well, I'll be there. Always come with that attitude, determination in your heart. I want to meet with God. I will go to God's house. I will worship God. That your seat will always be, as far as it is within you, filled. You see, empty seats in the house of God at the services. I ask you to look at your heart. Is your seat empty? Empty. What about empty seats at the prayer meeting? There are many seats for us, you know, in this congregation. There are seats for you, child of God, at the prayer meeting. You say, if it's filled, we'll soon put out more seats. If it's not filled, we can move the prayer meeting in here. Wouldn't it be great if this congregation could come together here into this building to meet with God? You see, we are to pray. The prayer meeting is part and parcel of the Christian life. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 21 and verse 13, my house shall be called the house of prayer. That's what Christ talked about His house. It is, of course, the house of prayer.
And God's people are to come together, and we are to pray, and we are to pray together in this place.
Our seats at the prayer meeting. God's people gather in this house to pray, and I'm glad of that.
We come and we pray for God's blessing. We want God's blessing in our families. We want God's blessing in this work. We come together to pray for souls. Lord, we want you to save our children. We want you, Lord, to save people in this community. We come and ask God and we pray, Lord, for His help, for His guidance, for His power, for His church, for His glory. We come together and we pray in the prayer meeting.
But it's your seat empty. Thou shalt be missed. Why? Because your seat's empty. Long ago, was a child of God, had you been at the prayer meeting?
Or do you put other things before that? You see, empty seats in the house of God. It's not just a new thing. Empty seats at the Olympics. Empty seats in Saul's palace. Empty seats here in the house of God, at the services, even at the prayer meeting.
Is your seat empty? Can people say to me, that's where so-and-so used to sit. That's where so-and-so used to pray.
How they used to pray to God with all of our hearts, haven't we? Child of God, and you're saved, and washed in the blood of the Lamb, as far as possible within you.
Do you come to the prayer meeting? Do you come to meet with God? Or is your seat empty? Empty seats, you see. What about empty seats at the Lord's table? I think it's next month we'll be remembering the Lord's death and His appointed way here in the congregation, in His appointed way. Remember Luke 22, verse 19, Christ with the disciples. He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and said unto them, and give unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Here's the Lord Jesus leaving this communion feast with his disciples. Took the bread, took the cup, and he said this, "This do in remembrance of me." And oh, what a blessed time it is for God's people to come together and to remember the love of Christ, and to remember how Christ shed his blood upon the cross. As we sit on the table, partake of the elements, and they remind us of his love, they remind us of his death, the shedding of his blood. We are to come together at the Lord's table. I thank God we do that in this church. But sometimes seats are empty. They're empty around the Lord's table. And I asked you the question, how long it is, how long ago is it since you took the Lord's Supper? He asked you, child of God who saved, have you ever partaken of the Lord's Supper? Do you make sure when it comes, when the minister gets up, he says, well, we're going to have the communion feast of such and such a day. You say, well, I'll be there. I will go to the feast. I will sit with God's people. I will remember the Lord in his appointed way. Or, as I said of you, your seat is empty. Your seat is empty. And I'm talking about people who's loving Christ, saved, walking with Christ, coming together. I remember hearing of a man one time, and he said to an elder, asked him, he says to him, you know, I hadn't seen him. It wasn't this church, by the way, in case you're trying to figure out who it was. But he asked him, he says to him, it's a wee while since you're at the Lord's table. You know what the fellow said to him? He says, you know, I'm not good enough. That's what the young Christian man said to this elder. He says, you know, I'm not good enough. And the old elder said to him, he says, there's none of us good enough. He says, there's none of us good enough. Now, which one of us? Imagine I said, we'll have a Lord's table today, but only those can stay who hasn't sinned against the Lord all week. There wouldn't be nobody on it. But listen, is your seat empty? Is your seat empty when it comes to the Lord's table? Do you just say, I can't be bothered? I go away home and get the spuds, whatever the case may be, I get away home, whatever, put everything else first. You see, thou shalt be missed because thy seat shall be empty. And there's seats in this house, there's seats in the services, there's seats in the supplications, the place of prayer, there's seats at the supper, the Lord's Supper, and there's seats in the place of serving, in other words, that are empty. Empty. There's things to do for God in this congregation. There's things to do for the Lord in this work. The service every one of us can do. Now, I'm not saying that we're all called to serve the Lord in the same way. We are not. Not everybody's called to be preachers. Not everybody's called to be evangelists or missionaries. Not everybody's called to be elders or deacons, Sunday school teachers. But there is a work that everyone can do. We're just a team, and I just got to move the clock back to the beginning of last month. We had the holiday Bible school. There was a great need for workers. I do thank everyone who helped out, and I think these were thanked on the parents' night. Great need for workers. It was wonderful to see everybody coming together. It was like a jigsaw, and everybody playing their part. Was there a need for bus drivers, bus conductors, or bouncers, whatever you want to call them, with all the children on the bus? And then there was music, registration, people to do their role. There was games and crafts and workbooks and stories and refreshments and cleaning and all of these things. And there was a call going out to people. Yes, we need help. We need help at the holiday Bible school. And there were people who came. But let me say this. There were seats that were empty. There was always empty seats. There's people, and I've said to you, there's people couldn't come because of family commitments, work commitments, fair enough, but maybe you could have come. Maybe you could have been there. Maybe you could have helped just to control the children. You could have helped with the refreshments. You could have helped certainly with the cleaning of the church and everything else. But your seat was empty. You see, there's empty seats in the congregation, in the serving of the church. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 9, verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Sometimes laborers are few. There are plenty of empty seats. One commentator said, in the time we have, it is our duty to do all the good we can to all the people we can, and all the ways we can.
Oh, but you and I would live our life to do all the good we can to all the people that we can, to live our life. You see, there are seats of serving in this congregation, and I have to say, there are people and their seats are empty. Empty seats in the house of God.
Is your seat empty? In some of the ways I've said. And you know that you should be in the seat. And that's the people I'm addressing this morning. You know you should be in the seat. But your seat is empty.
Thou shalt be missed, says Jonathan, because thy seat shall be empty. And there's another great lesson here. Live your Christian life in this congregation, that when you're not here, that you will be missed. That you will be missed in this congregation. When you're gone, that you will be missed, because your seat will be empty. Such will be your service, your zeal, your love, your devotion, your help, your support in this work,
that you'll be missed when you go. But it'll be good to live your life, Christian, that you will be missed. Of course, you'll always be replaced. There's none of us ever replaced, but I can say that. But when it'll be good to live your life, that you'll be missed. You know, when I was in England, there was people came and gone in the church. There were people came, I had to say, and they went, and I never missed them. I didn't miss them at all. But there were people who did come,
and because of circumstances, they had to leave. And I can tell you this, I missed them. I missed their prayers, I missed their support, I missed their encouragement. And oh, child of God, live your life in this congregation, that you'll be missed when you go. But they'll say, thou shalt be missed, because thy seat shall be empty. That's the way we should live our life, child of God. Loving Christ, serving Christ, want to come to God's house, want to be at the prayer meeting, want to be at the Lord's house, want to do whatever we can, whatever abilities, whatever help we can give to this work.
The empty seats in the house of God, thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. That's the way they live. They're not here in this congregation. They said, boys, we'll miss that woman, we'll miss that man, we'll miss that young, we'll miss them in the work, not the way.
The work will go on, of course.
But empty seats in the house of God. Do all we can to fill your seat in this congregation. It's very easy to take it easy, isn't it? It's very easy to put the slippers on Tuesday night instead of coming to the prayer meeting. God's only asking one night of the week to come. Empty seats. God's house. I want to speak about empty seats in the home. As our eyes gaze upon our homes, we see by our homes there are, of course, empty seats. Some seats are empty because of duties. And when I say by that, when we think of work, there's people who have to go away to work. There's some young people from a congregation and from the town who's taken themselves to Australia, and that is fair enough. There are times they have to go away to find work in a faraway land. And that is happening, of course. Many, as I said, many people, many young people has taken themselves from the town here to Australia. Now, we want to see that stuff. We don't want all our young people to go to Australia. We certainly want things to turn around. That's our rising generation of the morn. And we want them to remain. And there are homes today because of the duties of work. The seats are empty in certain homes. The son, the daughter, whatever the case may be, have taken themselves away to the far land, wherever it is, somewhere in the world, or they've joined the army, or whatever the case may be, and because of this thing, their seat is empty in the home. Maybe that's your home today. There's an empty chair at the table. We go back after the service, some of your family's away. Well, the duties of work, there's the duties, of course, of weddings. We think of our children, they grow up around us,
they're around our feet. Well, it's not too long, they're around our feet, so they're gone. That's not right. And we're sort of, we always say to people, soon we're back to where we started. And that's the way it works. Maybe we've been older and a bit more grumpy at that time, but that's the way it works out.
It's not right. Weddings come and go, and children get married, and they leave the home, and these things happen. You can think of Jacob. He was sent away down to his mother's family.
He had to work, he had to get a wife, and I have no doubt when he was sent away down to Padan Aram, that when he was there year after year after year, I have no doubt about it,
that Jacob was missed at home. He was missed at home. Isaac missed him. Rebecca missed him. You see, duty took him away. He had to go to work. He had to go for a wedding, we can say. And he was missed. He was missed in that home. And I want to say to young people today, live. You live your life that you've been missed in your family when you go. You do all you can in your home for your mom and for your dad. And then when duties come, you may have to go to work. And then, you, of course, you'll get married. That's what parents want with all their children, to get married, happily married, married in Christ, living for Christ, another home set up. But you do all you can, but you'll be missed about the family home. Of course, you'll arrive back and you'll fill 4 or 5 seats later on, perhaps, and all of that. But listen, live your life that you'll be missed. That you'll be missed in your family home. You see, there are empty chairs in family. Because of weddings or duties, there's empty seats in homes because of desertion. And what I mean by desertion is running away. It is said there's about 100,000 children running away from their homes every year. How terrible it is for parents to find that their children that they've loved and children that they've cared for, they've left home. They've run away from their family. Desertion, and there are homes throughout the United Kingdom, and there's empty chairs in that home because of desertion. Sad to say, some Christian homes, the children can't wait to get them. And some do leave home. Father says, you know, I'm just fed up with all the rules of this home. I'm fed up with the restrictions of this house. I'm certainly fed up with the religion. I'm fed up with it all. And when they get near, they run and they run and they run away to some other country and they run away from God and they run away from parents. And what happens is this, their seat is empty. Maybe some young people here this morning says, you know, when I get bigger, I'm going to leave home. Maybe that's what you're thinking now. I'll tell you this, the grass will only seem greener. Think of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Came and says, Father, give me mine inheritance. And he took all this inheritance and he went away into the far country. Oh, he thought he had arrived. He thought he had everything. And he followed the life of the prodigal son and into sin and into ruin. Nearly into death itself. But I want to say this about the prodigal son. I want to say about his seat. At home his seat was empty. And he was missed. His father missed him. He knew his son had sinned. He knew his son had run away. He had deserted. He had run away from home. But his daddy missed him. Because he was watching for him. Watching for him coming up the road, you see, when he came home. You see, empty seats at home. And they're empty because of duties and desertion. And then there's empty seats in across our land today because of divorce. Divorce is a terrible thing, a sinful thing, and wicked. Of course, there's a right time for a divorce. But Britain has the highest divorce rate in the European Union. People's getting married for a short period of time. And our homes today, and many's a home, has lost a mother, and mummy's seat is empty. In our homes today, and father, the father of the children, his seat is empty. Homes have been torn asunder by sin, by wickedness, by unfaithfulness, whatever the case may be. There's many's a home today across the province, and there's an empty seat because of divorce. Certainly, in America, I typed in America. You always go to Google to get all the information. The most married woman. She's married 23 times. She's dead now. But you know what her name was? Mrs. Wolf. Mrs. Wolf, so it's a good name for her. She's married 23 times. And a marriage is really just a thing. It lasts. It's like a ticket, isn't it? Just a period of time. Hollywood wedding is one where they take each other for better or for worse, but not for long. That's a Hollywood wedding, isn't it? For better, for worse, but certainly not for long. And there are homes today and there's empty seats because of divorce. Father is missing. Mother is missing. A husband is missing. A wife is missing. You see empty seats in the home. The Lord spare all of us from such a thing. May God keep all of our families together, all our marriages together, and always pray for that. Then, of course, there's empty seats at homes because of death. A death comes and takes a loved one away, and there's nothing speaks as much to a family as an empty chair when death comes. Takes away a mother, takes away a father, takes away a husband, takes away a wife, whatever the case may be. There are homes today, there are homes today. There's homes in this congregation, and there's empty seats because of death. And you will miss them. We'll miss our loved ones because death has come. Plucked away a loved one. I learned that lesson as a young fella. I was 17 when my dad died. And he stood behind the door, a big man over 6 foot. But I remember when he died and I'm at home, and you know what, the shock of the empty seat really spoke to me as a young fella, 17 years old. The empty chair, and it left a living impression. I never knew this verse was in the Bible, I never knew about the empty seat and all the rest of it, but it left a lasting impression on me. The seat is empty. And that way there's a home today here, and there's empty seats in your house. Death has taken away a loved one. Taking away the one that you've loved with all your heart is. The empty seats remind us that they're gone and they're missed. In Job chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more." He shall not be coming back. And our loved ones who's gone on, they'll not be coming back. Their seat is empty. But I want to say again to all of us, live your life that you will be missed at home. All of us. Live your life that you'll be missed. Thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. And let me say this, one day we all our seats will be empty at home. Everyone will die, everyone in this place. David said, there is but a step between me and death. And one day my seat will be empty in this church. One day my seat will be empty at home. I will be gone. One day your seat will be empty. One day you seat and you sit in the church, in your home. Empty seats at home. One day your seat will be empty. Everyone in this congregation, one day your seat will be empty. I want to speak about empty seats in heaven. Is there such a thing? Well, I don't believe there is. Because I believe in a great Savior. He will save all his people from their sins. That's the teaching of the Bible. You can read in Revelation in chapter 7, it tells about a great multitude that were saved. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. It talks about a great multitude of people. From every tongue, every nation, every kindred, there they were. There they were before the throne and before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, heaven will be filled with people. And the Lord Jesus tells us that. He tells us that in his parables. Because he said in Luke 14 and verse 22 and verse 23, and the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." And I want to say to you, heaven will be filled. Heaven will be filled with those who come to Christ, those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Many shall come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets. That's what the Bible tells us. They shall come and sit down in heaven. But let me ask you a question. Will your seat be empty? Will you be there? Will you be there in heaven? I'm talking about in the family complex here, that all our children will be saved, that you'll be saved, that you'll be in heaven, that you have come to Christ, that you have repented from your sin. I'll ask you, will you be in heaven, or will it be said that your seat is empty? You're not there in that context. You never turned to Christ. You never trusted him. But your seat, in a sense, be empty. You never made it. Now you say, "Noel, I plan to get saved. I plan to come to Christ. I plan to trust him with all of my heart." But listen, it could be an opportunity that you don't miss him. That you don't
get Christ, that they do not receive him as your Lord and Savior, thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. You see empty seats. But you be there. Ask yourself the question. I'm sure you heard of that song, I dreamed I searched heaven for you. It says, I dreamed I had gone to the city. The city where never comes night. And I saw the bright angels in glory, and I saw the fair mansions of light. I gazed for long, long years of rapture on the face of my Savior so true. And I sang with the servant holy. Then I dreamed I searched heaven for you. I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Searched vainly through heaven for you. Oh, won't you prepare to meet me up there, lest we should search heaven for you. Your seat will be empty. And I say to you today, empty seats at the Olympics. Think of the empty seats. There's not too many empty seats at the moment at the Olympics. If you follow Olympics, and I like sport, I had to say that, but the place is packed. People's flocking. People's running, rushing to get tickets on the internet and all the rest of it. They're flocking, rushing to get tickets at the Olympics to fill the seats. Tell me this, are you rushing to get a seat in heaven? Are you interested in getting a seat in heaven? Are you interested in being saved? Well, take a look around us. People doesn't want Christ, don't want to come to him. Thy seats shall be empty, and you shall be missed. Oh, I say to young people today, come to Christ. If you're not saved, older people today, come and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you. He will give you eternal life. Empty seats in the house of God. Empty seats in the home. Empty seats in heaven. Oh, Jonathan says to David, thou shalt be missed. Why? Thy seat shall be empty. And I hope I live my life that I'll be missed in some way. Not a big way. But when I go, I'll be missed in the home, in the church, whatever, in some way. I've lived my life for Christ. May you do it. May we all do it. And if you're not saved, come to Christ. If I can help you, do speak with us and come and trust him today. We're going to sing together just a couple of verses of a hymn that will sum up even our last point about being together in heaven, because that's certainly what we want. We want everyone. 599. We're going to sing the first and last verse. Well, we'll sing verse 1, verse 4, and verse 5. Verse 1, verse 4, verse 5. Will the circle be unbroken? We don't want that. I want all your seats to be filled in your family, and everyone saved. Let's stand to sing. Verse 1, verse 4, and 5.
Thank you.
that last verse sums up our sermon. Isn't it? One by one, their seats were emptied. One by one, they went away. Here the circle has been broken. Will it be complete one day? Thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. Oh, we had said, the unsaved, come to Christ. And come and put your faith and trust in Him today. If I can help in any way, we pray that I will help you. And today will be a day for your salvation. We pray for God's people. You'll be stirred up to come to the house of God and to meet with God. And we pray that Thou will do it at this time. Father in heaven, we pray that Thy blessing be upon us. And we pray that Thou would take us all to our homes in safety. May we realize that one day, our Lord, that our seat will be empty. And we pray that we will live for Thee. So bless each one of us. Watch over us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.